The Republic Broadcasting Network.
April 29, 2018, in Cincinnati Radio on Public Broadcasting Network. That was a little track called For a Better Day by the late electronic dance music artist Avicii. I covered this last week, and I already told you last week that there were, let's just say, people talking behind the scenes that Avicii was into some, let's just say, anti-pedophilia trafficking sorts of things. For a Better Day. So, Ken, let's roll clip one. This is David Seaman, a band from YouTube, Fulcrum Media, on Avicii's death. Go ahead and roll clip one.
Hey, friends. So we're live right by the Capitol building, as you can see, by the National Mall. And the question for all of you is, why did Avicii die at the age of 28? The claim is that he was an alcoholic. Okay, even if you're a big-time drinker, how many drinkers die at the age of 28 and not in their 40s or 50s? Just basic physiology here, right? I'm not a doctor. But just basic physiology of your own friends and family members. People who are moderate to heavy drinkers, do they just drop dead at the age of 28? I mean, sure, it's possible, but internet researchers are concerned about the fact that Avicii had a number of music videos that had gone massively viral because he was an internationally popular Swedish DJ, and this stuff had gone viral. One of his videos, more than 58 million views, and when you watch the content of the video, it shows a couple of children who are trafficked by pedos, and then when they grow up, when they're teens or adults, they track down their handlers. They track down their handlers and they kill them. And then they brand them with the word pedophile. Using a hot iron, they brand them with the word pedophile. That music video is called For a Better Day. For a Better Day. It's still on YouTube, 58 million views. Valerie, who's watching right now, she says, sorry, but they murdered him. She thinks that he was murdered. Again, how many 28-year-olds just drop dead from drinking beer and shots of whiskey. I realize it happens, but how often is that? We all have friends who are heavy drinkers. If you have problems with alcoholism, again, not a doctor, not medical advice, it tends to manifest later in life. Not at the age of 28, and he was outspoken about child trafficking, and again, his music videos, at least one of them, blatant reference to an elite class of child traffickers. And again, the content of the video shows these former victims getting justice, right? Deciding to go after their abusers. So that's what the music video for A Better Day is about. It's a good song.
And then go ahead and find number 16, and we're going to play that in a second. But everybody in the chat rooms, incendiaryradio.chatango.com, incendiarychat.chatango.com, incendiaryquencher.chatango.com, throw that video of Avicii, A-V-I-C-I-I, for A Better Day. Throw that in the chat room and watch that later at your own you know, leisure, at your own time. But what I found fascinating is the comments under, you know, the video, and there's a lot of people that think this along these lines. And look, I'm going to play in clip 16 in a second, and then I'm going to make a little speculation, and I'm not going to, and that's all it'll be is speculation. But let's roll number 16.
Avicii, the artist, the EDM artist, died. He died at the age of 28. And that was a bummer because I've talked about this in the past. I'm a fan of the EDM. And Avicii is one of the biggest names, probably top five, I would say. So this is a pretty big loss for that community. Now, of course, the official story is that he died from struggles he had with his health, which is true. Apparently he stopped touring back in 2016 due to this issue, but I do find it a bit odd. There's not a lot of 28-year-olds that pass away from sort of natural causes. I don't know if it's natural causes, but it just seems a little odd to me. But you know, that doesn't necessarily mean, look, people die sometimes.
Hey,
right?
Pause it there for a second, Ken. Pause it for a second. Now, things have came out in the last few days since then that his family and others are releasing basically that this was a suicide. But we all know about Arkansides and people being suicided all over this planet. So when I hear suicide, I automatically go down a few, you know, roads in my mind. Okay. And let's go ahead and let's resume, Ken.
But my boy Darren Williams hit me up on the Twitter, and he notified me about the true origin of the term Avicii. And I hit it up on my search engine, and sure enough, in Buddhism, the Avicii is the lowest level of hell. It says on here, it's where the dead who have committed grave misdeeds may be reborn. So, I'm not really sure the origin of his name, to be honest. I'm not sure why he came up with that. I did a brief sort of look around online, and I didn't see any clear explanation of why he chose that. Now, again, this doesn't necessarily mean the Illuminati killed him, but it does mean it could have some kind of relation to so the symbolism that they like to put out there. They like to do mass rituals where, I mean, the Whitney Houston, Bobby Christina thing is the clearest example.
Okay, go ahead and stop it. Now let me kind of talk about this for a second. Now, there's people that, you know, these festivals, Tomorrowland, and there's tons of them. There's big ones in Vegas. You got Coachella. You've got Burning Man. You've got Electric Daisy Carnival and all these other ones where they are basically, they are ritualistic. When, you know, and there were videos made about Avicii 3-4 years ago about the symbolism. It's called Avicii Exposed and so forth and so on. But a lot of people around him and a lot of people let's say his peers. I was listening to Armin van Buuren, who's another huge DJ, a European guy. And you hear a lot of these folks that knew him saying that he was kind of a tortured soul and kind of like almost a misfit, didn't fit in, et cetera, et cetera. And this name Avicii, where it talks about the lowest kind of level of hell for people that do grave misdeeds. And then I just had this feeling that this guy might have been a victim of some sort of, let's say, an individual sometime in his early life. I just got that kind of that feeling that, you know, these European, he's Swedish, these European, the Belgians are hugely known for the trafficking. But, you know, you get into this whole thing with the elites of these countries inviting in the Islamic, it's almost like the cover story, because we know in large swaths of Islamic culture, the pedophilia is rampant. Little girls to marry and start breeding your children and little boys to have fun with. This is kind of like this weird underbelly of Islam, to where almost like some of these European elites are using this as a shield. I mean, you got Rotherham and all these places in England where this comes up and it covers up the former prime ministers like Heath and the royal family and all the goofy stuff there, to where it's like they almost want to invite this chaotic system in, so it actually almost runs as a shield or a cover for their own wacko perversions and so forth and so on. You know, we get the Talmudic rules and so forth for their little nasty pedophilic activities, and so we see these parallels in the Islamic world, and then of course in Roman Catholic circles, the large industrial grade pedophilia and the priesthood, and the whole thing is just repulsive. But I almost think that there's a possibility this guy chose this name as a way to say this is where these people belong. And then, you know, you've got this For a Better Day video that got released a couple years back. Did they wait a while to suicide this guy right around as a sacrifice, right around the Queen's birthday? I talked about the prince in Avicii parallels last week. Just a lot of wild stuff here. And the guys in Oman, Muscat, Oman, where this happens, where he allegedly takes his own life. So many things there that are kind of wild to speculate about. But was he a victim in his young age as somebody that got diddled by some creep or group of creeps? You just don't know. And so I wanted to talk about that for a few minutes. I guess I should get to this. Ken, let's get clip 24 queued up. It looks like within the last couple of hours, the Syrian targets have been hit once again by, let's just say, Rothschild Zio forces, American or Israeli, so forth and so on. So let's roll clip 24 real quick.
As we have one hand, Kim Jong-un's ready to give up the nukes, and on the other hand, there's been a massive explosion in Syria. Everybody get some coffee and calm down just a moment here. I'm going to check something real fast, if there's been any information, any more news that's up to date here. Let's get anything new been reported. Where's the mainstream, lamestream, fake news media? Oh, I'm sorry. They're still laughing at Michelle Wolf's slimy, sleazy jokes. Let me see here. You can't even call that jokes. Guys, seriously. They're in the gutter so far in Washington. Do you see why we call it the swamp? Do you realize it would take barrels of Drano to plunge that thing. Do you know how much slime and sludge and sleaze, the slippery slope and the cesspool of the swamp? Are you serious? Sarah Sanders, it's insane. They insulted her. It's sad. It's sickening. It's disgraceful. I mean, it really is. Explosion in Syria. Iran base. Let's just see if there's anything new out there. Times of Israel's covering it. Give me 1 second here. Let's go in the last 24 hours now since it's okay. Times of Israel is covering it. Israeli news. Enemy rocket attacks strike two military bases. So who did this? Iranian bases. Reports say dozens were killed. Massive explosion hits an Iranian base in Syria. That's Hal Turner radio show, so now he's getting involved. He's pretty good. He's usually right. Syrian media: explosions at the largest Iranian base in all of Syria. The initial reports coming out of Syria.
All right, go ahead media and stop it there. Now go ahead and get the next one ready, clip 25. Now, yeah, people are talking about tactical nuke, 2.6 earthquake, and so forth and so on. So this is very creepy. It's hard. You know, these, I'll tell you what. I mean, the Orthodox Republican kind of Christian Zio right is going to say that the Israelis are doing this to protect themselves from the Iranians, so forth and so on. So we're seeing the Iranian so-called threats that they're going to sink United States ships in the Persian Gulf. And we've seen this in the various different platforms. And so remember back when Dick Cheney was the vice president, we had that big thing with that Patrick Clawson individual bragging about all the false flags. And he's like, they basically talking about how we need to sink one of our own ships to get us after the Iranians. And so now we're seeing reports in basically various spectrums of corporate and internet media saying the Iranians are threatening to sink our ships. And so you could see us hitting one of our old ships. They were worried about one of our junkier ships, go ahead and sacrificing one of those years back. So we're on this 2.0 of this. Let's roll clip 25.
Today is Sunday, April 29th, 2018. One of my sources in Syria, Khalid al-Mudik, is reporting that about an hour ago, Israel carried out devastating airstrikes against multiple Syrian and Iranian targets inside of Syria. And it looks like one of the strikes was against the 47th Brigade near Salab, Syria. And from what I'm seeing here, preliminary reports are that scores of fighters and military personnel were killed by Israel in these strikes. And this includes casualties from the Iranian Zayin Abiyun Brigade. And this particular Iranian brigade is actually comprised mostly of Shiite Pakistanis who happen to live in Iran. And what I know about this particular brigade from studying them in the past is that they were originally deployed to Syria to protect a particular holy site from ISIS, because the ISIS terrorists were going around destroying a lot of mosques and sites. Well, this particular site is the Sayyida Zainab Mosque. And this mosque is a center of Shia religious studies. It's considered holy partly because the mosque includes the tomb of the granddaughter of Islam's prophet Muhammad. Now, I've got some footage for you here of one of these strikes that Israel just conducted. I've been told that this explosion registered as a 2.6 on the Richter scale, but I'm not seeing confirmation of that yet.
All right. Here we go again, folks. See you guys on the other side of the break. Insanity.
Homicide, sweet suicide, natural causes, day or night. For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Radio. You know what's so fascinating is this dichotomy. You know, the Christians in Syria are getting purged, killed by the nutty John McCain, John Brennan, whack job, deep state of ours, basically mercenary force of killers. And then we have people, pastor defends conducting Beyonce mass. Another program at the church characterized Mary Magdalene as an original nasty woman. Pastor of a San Francisco progressive Episcopal church is defending his support for holding the first ever Beyonce mass. No kidding. A Beyonce mass. I know there are people who will say using Beyonce is just a cheap way of trying to get people in church, said Jude Harmon, the founding pastor of The Vine, a Ministry of Grace Cathedral Church, but Jesus used very provocative images in the stories he would tell to incite people to ask hard questions about their own religious assumptions. He regularly provoked, "We're following in the way of Jesus." Just blasphemous. And then this is what we've got going on in America, while people in Orthodox churches in Syria get bombed, and then some of the Catholic affiliated churches are getting bombed. Just crazy. Got a lot to cover tonight. And I got to talk about this. Ken, am I sounding all right? I hear some breaking up going on. Okay, good. I was listening to Rents on the 24th, and it was about the material of the Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting, DAFOH.org. And basically, there's these two books that are really document this this phenomenon, I'll just say, going on in China, this industrial-scale organ trade. Bloody Harvest is one of them, and The Slaughter is the other one. And it talks about this just war on the Falun Gong and probably many other dissident groups of the Communist Party, where, I mean, just to listen to how scientific this is, and you can go on DAFOH.org, but to listen to the material, and we've always heard about, you know, various talk show hosts like Jones talks about the mobile execution vans and so forth, but it brought up that thing, you know, like I shared some time ago about the chaos in Syria, and you had these basically Turkish mob harvesting organs from these children, these kids that were orphaned and so forth. You know, the chaos of war, all kinds of just nasty things happen when a society gets bombed like Syria or Libya or so forth and so on, where unfortunately, the innocent, they're the second casualty. Truth, the first casualty of war, we hear that all the time. But then the innocents, the weaker members of that society, end up being the second casualties. And unfortunately, you've got some very, very Machiavellian and evil. I mean, you can't say anything about basically harvesting the organs from children and dissidents and so forth. There's nothing other than satanic. And so we're just seeing complete it's like this epidemic, it seems. But these butchers in China, I'll tell you, while they always get most favored nation trading status. And I covered China about basically how, you know, you've heard our politicians saying, oh, once the Soviet Union fell, that communism's dead, blah, blah, blah. No, it's alive and well here on our own college campuses. I mean, I've been watching footage from various, you know, vloggers. About just they go onto these college campuses and the mental illness, the stupidity, the disinformation that's been pumped into these kids, the popularity of Bernie Sanders, to where he could have easily won the nomination for the Democratic Party without stealing it from him. And then we have China. The Confucius Institute penetrating many of our universities. See you guys on the other side.
right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-
You know, these stories come up from time to time in England lately. Every so often you hear about a very sick child, and then you have the same kind of narrative play out. This one's about this young child who the government let die, Alfie Evans. They wouldn't let him out of the British gulag, allegedly. You had Rome on the surface involved trying to lean on the British government, allegedly, to let the parents take the kid out of the country and so forth and so on. It's an interesting sequence or narrative that gets everybody's heartstrings really pulled. Now, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I don't want to say that. It probably did. But you see this kind of parallel, similar scenario come up in basically the news cycle, like some sort of interval. I don't know what this is with. It's fascinating. So this is on theamericanthinker.com. Alfie Evans, the state, and us. You think the issue of the baby in England is just another story of individuals dealing with a personal tragedy? You're wrong. The story involves all of us. It involves all of us in a very serious manner. It is part of the thus far nonviolent civil war we fight here in America, a war again like the first civil war for the soul of our country. It's a war between Western blah, blah, blah values and the values of leftism. And look, it is real. And I don't want to, you wonder how many stories like this don't get covered. It's almost like it has to be in a sequential time frame. I don't know. It just strikes me as weird. And it could be a totally organic and I could be making a mountain out of a molehill. I don't know. It's a war between the individual as the focus of our lives and culture and the big state as the focus. Just look at the stark realities that have played out in England. Its healthcare system is now completely absorbed by the state. And in parentheses, ours is well on the way. The focus was the state, faceless, unaccountable, a massive bureaucracy armed with tremendous power, shared with the politicians up in their distant offices, the unelected judges with their lifetime appointments, and the government employee doctors all on one side, and the individuals, mom, dad, and the baby on the other. Who do you suppose won this give and take, this healthcare transaction? Talk about inequality. Those on the left are livid if the guy next door has a BMW and themselves only a Toyota. But they don't blink an eye at the truly massive inequality inherent in state versus individual power. The state in England crushed mom. The state eliminated dad. And the state has told the baby his life is up and he's ready to die. But of course, keep in mind that all the state doctors wrap their actions in words of kindness, compassion, and what is best for all concerned, serving the will of the people and acting for the common good, all their usual regressive Marxist claptrap. Now, if this is the soul of America one is fighting for, I say a plague on your house. But this indeed is the soul the American left is battling for, the glorious state as the center of American life. This is what the Democratic Party, our New York Times op-ed writers, our mainstream media and tech elites, our university professors, leftist clergy, and Hollywood stars are all lined up rallying for. Government, big, controlling, iron-fisted power centered in Washington. They fight for this because no matter how smart, no matter how the Yale or Princeton degree, no matter how sweet and well-intentioned, American men and women of the left are now almost completely unmoored from the wisdom and liberalism of our great Western American, that what they say, Judeo-Christian values. You know, I don't like that term. They have bought into what all humans tend to be attracted to, the child in all of us. The world of take care of me forever, mommy and daddy. Okay? So, with that, Ken, go to clip 14 and get that one ready. So, you know, you see this caravan of illegals crashing the border. Now, all the time the government had time to get ready for this, and what, they just stood down the DHS ICE folks just decided, hey, it's the optics are to just let these people crash into the country. This is, you know, is this another PSYOP? This is hard to really gauge. You see these things, these blips on the radar screen happen, and you, it, they almost like take the wind out of our sails. Trump has a big rally up there in Washington, Michigan. He ducked out of that Correspondents Association dinner where they had this vacuous and repulsive comedian. Just I haven't got to watch this, but supposedly all the, you know, pundits out here are saying how disgusting and so forth and so on this whole thing was, this spectacle. I don't know. I haven't had time to dig into it. So you got the state over here, and basically this Democratic Party in many parts of the country is just, I mean, it ideologically, this it's a collective derangement and insanity. It's almost like the great falling away the Bible talks about, and all the things that would happen. And the Republicans aren't—they're barely any better. The corporate level party GOP types. Now at the local level, there's the Republicans are pretty damn hardcore in a lot of parts of the country. Okay, when you get into Jefferson City up here in my state capital, and you go to a lot of state capitals, the Republican Party is the last vestige of the download of the founding fathers. Let's listen to clip 14, and this shows you just the collective insanity. Go ahead, roll 14.
This is probably going to be one of my least popular videos because very few people want to deal with this. But we're not afraid. We need to be the voice for the voiceless. We need to speak for the unspoken. And some very disturbing news, but it's not new news, is coming out again. Here it's about female genital mutilation. Following, this is 419 the other day. Following swift action, the Maine House Democrats on the last day of legislative session, there will be no female genital mutilation ban in the Pine Tree State. After months of pretending they wanted to stop the barbaric ritual abuse, the Democratic caucus, not the Democrats, it's both of them, show their true colors. 77-70, they killed the FGM ban and mostly party line vote. Voted to kill the female genital ban in April, which is a child, April is Child Abusive Prevention Month, folks. How ironic, and also the week of the young child. Playing games with child began to relent. She brought the bill to the floor. The Democrats like to talk about victims' rights, women's rights, child advocacy, human rights, and justice, but their votes on the horrific form of child abuse do not back up their talk.
Hey, pause it for a second, Ken. These are the same people that'll rip homeschoolers' kids away from Christians and so forth. But yet they don't have, I mean, this is the collective insanity of these people, to where they'll kill a female genital mutilation bill because they don't want to offend their political allies, the Islamic quote unquote immigrants that are basically they're using as political weight. This is the thing. These people will basically invite their own killers in order to keep political power for a short season. So they're willing to suicide themselves a few years on down the road because they think that they're absorbing political allies. And look, we know the agenda levels on up is more insidious, but I'm just talking about like people at state party levels. Go ahead, let's resume this.
Male genital mutilation is the ritual cutting or removal of some of all the external female genitalia. In some cultures, the vulva is sewn shut only to be ripped open on the woman's wedding night. The practice is designed to curb sexual desire in women. Along with significant health risks to young girls, women who suffer FGM are left with lifelong psychological and emotional scarring. All right, and then getting into it a little more. This is a same link, different article. This is from a month earlier. A common argument for the leftist is to say the FGM is banned, so should any form of non-health-related surgery performed on female genitalia. Labioplasty was often mentioned as an example. Labioplasty is the reduction of the size of the woman's labia minora. However, in reality, there's no equivalence between this and FGM. A labioplasty procedure is done voluntarily and can be done for both cosmetic and health reasons. Labioplasty has no lifelong emotional scarring or negative health impacts the way FGM does. It is not a daily reminder of one of the worst experiences of the woman's life like the FGM is. It's also they continue the trend of protecting criminals over victims by objecting to banning FGM on the grounds of racism. We're going to get into that a little more. All right, so the GOP, the Republicans said, well, we want to ban this and have penalties. The Democrat says, no, the accomplices can't be charged. We will not allow for records to be unsealed. We do not want to deal with state line crossings. Money set aside for educating at-risk communities, victims, and medicals of FGM, we're not going to fund. And no mention of statute of limitations extension. Currently in England, only Rhode Island has outlawed FGM. Massachusetts have no FGM ban. I mean, this is going on all over, folks, all over the place. All right, and there are currently over 12 states to specifically criminalize all persons that may be involved, including the person performing the procedure, the person transferring the child out of state, and or the person caring for the child that permits or pays for the act of FGM to occur. 5 states have also established state funding outreach and education programs to serve as a deterrent. Now, please listen to this woman's story, F.A. Cole, very brave woman, speaking about how horrific, terrible, and scarred for life these procedures are involuntarily on women, usually in their youth. Please listen.
My name is F.A. Cole. I'm originally from Sierra Leone, West Africa, and I'm a survivor of female genital mutilation. It happened when I was 11 years of age. My stepmom and my father decided that, well, my stepmom actually manipulated my father to have me and my older sister, who was 13 at the time, to undergo female genital mutilation. What these people, I call them these people, are people. My mom didn't go through it, but because she was no longer with my dad, she was still beaten from the separation, so she said she didn't care. Keep in mind that my father was Catholic. I was raised and born. I was born and raised Catholic. I went to confessions and all that. But yet still, they took it upon themselves to torture me for the rest of my life. I stand before you today, 44 years of age, and I still suffer from post-traumatic stress disorders brought on by this practice. I know there are women who are in favor of it. And my question to them is, do you really enjoy sex? Because if you enjoy sex the way God intended for women to enjoy sex, you wouldn't put your daughter through what you went through. Thank God I have a son, but I'm praying that one day I get pregnant and have a daughter, and I'll shield her from this. They tied my hands behind my back. I was blindfolded. The woman who was about three or four times my size sat on top of me. I didn't know what a clitoris was. At age 44, I'm just now beginning to learn about the clitoris because, thank God, I had clitoral reconstruction surgery done in October in California.
All right, we'll go ahead and stop it there. But I mean, I personally... I know this is incendiary to say this, but I want to destroy this the people behind this. I want to straight up, these people deserve to be hung in the noonday sun. I mean, I want to destroy every last one of them. This is sick. I, you know, I mean, I don't know what to say. I mean, this world, the crap, the poisonous ideas that infest this world. I mean, I don't know this. It's just I mean, what they do to these women with female genital mutilation. What these people over in Asia do to the dogs. Getting off on torturing the dogs before they kill them for, you know, food and having these dog fests. I mean, the way some of the Islamic cultures treat dogs, crucifying them, just because some prophet or so-called prophet some centuries back said that the animal, blah, blah, blah. You know what? We've become weak and we've become pathetic and we've let these dregs take over too many parts of this world. See you guys on the other side.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
My name is Don Wiskin, and at 42 years old, I suffered a massive heart attack, lost 35% of my heart to damaged tissue, and was supposed to spend the rest of my life on disability. What did I do? I took Extendivite, a garlic and cayenne mix of seven herbs which rebuilt my heart and gave me back my life. For over 17 years now, I have made this formula available to you, so you don't have to suffer the same thing I did. Clean your blocked arteries and strengthen your heart and boost your natural immune system. I'm 60 years old now and I still work every day. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Incendiary Radio, lifenews.com. This man wants to kill hundreds of unborn children to help people find the perfect genetically engineered baby. Procreation is becoming a matter of manufacturing, engineering, quality control, and other accoutrements of industrial control. Babies are already made by IVF, that's in vitro, and then sorted for health and neo-eugenics attributes, including sex. Desired embryos are implanted in a uterus, either that of the mother or a rented gestational carriers. The unwanted nascent humans are discarded as medical waste, put in cold storage, or donated for research. If certain bioethicists and biotechnologists get their way, technological reproduction will grow even more precise, and I would say dehumanizing. From a Yahoo News story about the work of Stanford bioethicist Hank Greeley, here's what Greeley envisions. A man and a woman walk into a fertility clinic. The man drops off some sperm. The woman leaves some skin cells, which are turned into eggs and fertilized with the man's sperm. Unlike in vitro fertilization today, which typically yields around 8 eggs per try, the new method could result in 100 embryos. The embryo's complete library of DNA would be decoded and analyzed to reveal genetic predispositions, both for disease and personal traits. The man and woman would get dossiers on the embryos that pass minimum tests for suitability. Out of, say, 80 suitable embryos, the couple would then choose one or two to implant. The possibilities don't stop there. The technology might also help open the door to same-sex couples having children genetically related to both of them, though the additional twist of making eggs from men or sperm from women would be a huge biological challenge. What happens if the product is somehow defective? Will there be a warranty? Will there be a right of return? We already witnessed sex selection and other forms of eugenics, later term abortion. Some bioethicists believe these terminating actions should extend to infanticide, sometimes called post-birth abortion, until a child becomes a person able to be self-aware or value life. Such, let's call it, libertarian baby-making clearly appeals to some. These folks believe that people not only have a right to a baby, but the baby they want. But what happens if such quality control becomes mandatory, at least as to health? The old eugenics movement shows what the new eugenics could become. If Greeley's vision materializes, it will be one of the most radical transformations of human society in history, and yet there are no serious democratic discussions ongoing about the wisdom of permitting such practices, and existing regulatory control is weak. This time has come for President Trump to appoint a bioethics council to lead these discussions, blah, blah, blah. You know, this gets into the Huxley stuff, Brave New World, babies in incubators, and, I mean, we're going full-blown transhuman. Hour two coming up, folks. Incendiary Radio. Keep listening.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.